2014 marks the United Nations International Year of Family Farming. The aim of the year is to recognise the importance of family farming in reducing poverty and improving global food security. In an interview with Vatican Radio's Rafael Bellincanta, the president of the International Fund for Agricultural Development, or IFAD, Kanayo Nawanse, discusses this year, the Millennium Development Goals and the Zero Hunger Campaign. The president also recalls Pope Francis' words on food waste.
We are living right now the International Year of Family Farming. When we talk about Africa and family farming and also the Millennium Development Goal for the next year, what can we say about these issues right now, Mr. President?
I must say that IFAD's mandate will always be smallholder family farming. So we are happy that what we have been doing for the last 35 years, the international community has dedicated this year as International Year of Family Farming. The African Union has also declared 2014 as the year of agriculture, food and nutrition security. So this awareness for us, particularly recognizing the importance of smallholder agriculture for Africa in particular, feeding Africa, and Africa contributing to global food security, is very important. Why do I say this? We have been advocating for years now that the potential for small producers globally to grow agriculture as a business, as an enterprise, is huge. Why? The average smallholder farmer in Africa, in Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, parts of Latin America, are currently producing at a capacity that is much below their potential. In Africa, I will say that the average farmer is at 40% of its capacity, of its potential. So it is underperforming, because they are not using improved seeds, they don't have access to irrigation, they depend on rain-fed agriculture, the soils are poor, they don't use fertilizers. So if you can think about simply optimizing existing technologies with the knowledge of the environment, so that we do not disturb the environment, so that we have a sustainable system of agriculture, you can increase existing potential. So if you can go from 40% to 60 to 80 alone with existing agricultural systems, you can imagine what it means. Now, when you also take the case of Africa, where 60% of the global available agricultural land is in Africa, it's about 800 million hectares of agricultural land. You put all of these two things together, what appears as a challenge for African agriculture, for me, is an opportunity. And I think this is where we need to couple all of this with the right policies, agricultural policies, good governance, visionary leadership. And you look at countries where this is occurring, Tanzania, Rwanda, Ghana, as examples, Zambia, Ethiopia, you see the transformation is taking place. Because farmers, the small farmers, can produce food, but they have to have the incentives and they have to have linkages to markets. This is why IFAD believes that the whole value chain approach from production to marketing has to be seen as an integrated system. We talk about inclusive development. We use words without actually, in practical terms, see how to do it. We know how to do it. It doesn't make sense to say, okay, farmers, you can produce. We want you to double your yield. We give you all the inputs. After they produce, there's no price stabilization. There's no market. There's no access to markets because there are no roads. There are no facilities. The next year, they will not produce. So agriculture should be seen not just as a sector, not just as a process of development. It is basically the backbone, the cornerstone to economic growth and social development of most countries. You know, Africa, you're looking at up to 80 million small producers. Globally, you're looking at 500 million small farms. And they feed at least 2 to 2.5 billion people worldwide depend on small farms. That is not a number you can ignore. You see, so if you can think of this as the bottom of the pyramid, you can see the potential of moving populations a little bit up, moving up the pyramid. And when you increase the economic well-being of populations, you increase the social well-being of populations, the buying power increases. So you actually have economic growth as well as social development.
President Mwanza, I just fish something now, and just come in my mind the Zero Hunger program and the local production and the local consumption. Do you think this is a right model that comes from the director general of FAO, and he's trying to implement with WFP and also without help in Asia, the last news I got?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Zero Hunger Challenge, the Zero Hunger Campaign, actually was a very successful approach in Brazil when Mr. José Graciano da Silva was in the government, and he had a very successful tenure there. We know how successful the Zero Hunger Challenge was in Brazil. The Secretary General has taken this up himself, and it has much global visibility. It can be applied in many parts of Africa, but one has to see the Zero Hunger Campaign or the Zero Hunger Challenge not as an agenda by itself, but as a set of goals. You know, as a set of goals. Now, the question we should be asking ourselves is, how do we implement programs? How do we work with communities to be able to achieve those goals? You see, the question I asked my colleagues, I said, what we do, our program, our portfolio of programs and projects that we support in developing countries, how do they contribute to achieving the goals of the Zero Hunger Campaign? You see my point? So it becomes like milestones that we must achieve rather than a program by itself. We should be asking ourselves, FAO, WFP, IFAD, the World Bank, all the others that are engaged in development, how do our activities, the programs that we finance, contribute to achieving the goals of the Zero Hunger Challenge? It is not to create another buzzword, you know, and detract us from the work we do? Or how do we align our current activities so that we respond through impact on the ground? You know, not just words, not just rhetoric. We should be asking ourselves, okay, we have invested X billion dollars in Y number of countries and Z million number of beneficiaries have been affected by our investment. What does that mean? We should be asking ourselves, the results on the ground, do they translate to better lives and better livelihoods of poor rural people? Do they eat better and nutritious food? Are children growing properly? Does it reduce stunting? Does it reduce malnutrition? Is there gender equity, etc., etc.? So we need key performance indicators that will show on the ground, impact on the ground on the lives of rural people. Not just numbers of investments, numbers of projects, numbers of countries, numbers of people. It's how exactly are people's lives transformed. The rural transformation must be measurable in terms of impact on people's lives.
What I want to ask you, President, is we are here in Rome. Does the Pope have bring a new vision for the vertices of UN agencies here in Rome?
I would say that Pope Francis certainly is a very practical individual. We can tell from his life history what he's done in Latin America and what he's trying to do to the Church. in trying to bring about some change. I think what you are referring to here, basically, if I remember correctly now, it's to do with food waste, you know. I think, if my recollection is correct, that about 30% of all the food that ends up on the table at homes, in restaurants, or in shops are wasted, thrown away. Now, that's equal to billions of dollars. On the other extreme, you have also 20 to 40% of food loss when food is produced before it gets to the market. So you have both extremes, food loss and food waste. So if we are able to conserve, you know, and reduce losses and waste, we can certainly reduce hunger and poverty. We all say that the world produces enough food to feed 9 billion people come 2050. We all say today we can feed 7.1 billion people from the food that is produced globally. But it's a question of access, availability of the food, particularly in rural areas and countries that are affected by severe climatic events. So Pope Francis, I believe, brings to our awareness of the need for us to consider our common humanity. I personally think it's obscene, it is not acceptable that 1 billion people continue to suffer from malnutrition. Over 800 million suffer from stunting, children suffer from stunting due to malnutrition and so on and so forth. We have another billion that are obese, overfed. So you see these kind of contradictory things in the world. And so it brings to awareness that our work that we do is also like a missionary work, you know, bringing happiness to poor people, helping them to build their own capacities to move away from poverty and hunger, to move away from subsistence agriculture to more commercial in the sense that they can commercialize their surplus product and be able to feed themselves and to feed their families.